This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you to recap the Royals season. As you guys know, the Royals lost last night to the New York Yankees. I will share my thoughts with you on the game. I will share my thoughts with you on the season coming up in just a bit. We will talk a pinch of football today. The Chiefs are off this weekend, but this is one of the better college slates that I can remember. We'll talk a little college football. We'll also get you ready for this weekend in the NFL. I know the Chiefs aren't playing, but I imagine you will be watching football on Sunday the same way that I will. But we will talk a lot of Royals today. We have a lot of guests. Denny Matthews is going to be on the show. Jake Eisenberg is coming back on the show. Ryan LaFever, our last time catching up with Josh Vernier over the next couple of weeks until we start to see some free agency moves. We will certainly give our respects to the Royals that had one of their best seasons in franchise history. We'll do that coming up in just a bit. But before we do any of that, let me tell you again that I appreciate you guys, and let me give you a chance to win a pizza.
Time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Call number 6, 913-586-7965. They win a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of local plus unique wines. So whether you're hungry enough for a whole pie or just want a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two. I just need you to tell one friend that if you want some of the best pizza in the city and you are a little sad, disappointed that baseball season is over, then the best place to remember baseball is right here with us on 96.5 The Fan. I want to tell you guys a quick story before we get into yesterday's game. So for opening day, I got the opportunity to take my daughter to her first baseball game. I wasn't really sure how she was going to do. She's 4 years old, and if you got little ones, you know that sometimes they can be a little rambunctious, you know? But I wanted to take her. It was warm. They offered us free tickets at the job, and I was just like, eh, I'll go. Over the last two seasons, I'd only been to two Royals games. I went to a Royals game because it was 6-10 day at the K, and I also went to another game that was 6-10 day at the K. Actually, you know what? I went to 3 Royals games over the last 2 years because, one, we had those crown seats, Rob, and let me tell you, oh, it was magnificent. The Royals had just kind of been out of sight, out of mind. You had to do a lot of work to watch them. They weren't very good. You guys weren't really interested in us talking about the Kansas City Royals. So it was easy to just kind of put them on the back burner. Hey, if something happens, sure, we'll talk about it. But we haven't come up with many Royals topics over the course of the last couple of years because the Royals really hadn't done anything to warrant it. I wasn't really sure what this season was going to be. But as I'm sitting there, and sometimes it takes watching the games through a child's eyes to sort of appreciate it, I left opening day thinking, man, baseball's still kind of cool. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm watching it with her, and she's excited to get cotton candy, and she wants to meet Slugger, and she's really excited about the hot dog derby, and she's asking questions about the game. And I told myself then, hey, I'm going to do a much better job of keeping up with the Royals this season, regardless of what happens. Whether the Royals go to the World Series or whether they completely flame out, I'm going to make it a point to try to go out here and try to bring her out here more. And over the course of the season, I would say for me, I fell in love with baseball again. And I think the Royals had the same kind of effect for many of you. It was almost like time stopped out at Kauffman Stadium. The last time that Eric Hosmer put on a jersey, and you remember, it was the final day for all of them. You knew it was kind of like a farewell tour for a great band that you grew up watching. It was kind of like baseball stopped for a while. And we all sort of justified how bad they were, and we all kind of made excuses for how bad they were, and we all moved on to football at that moment. It almost lined up perfectly that the moment that the Royals died was the moment that the Chiefs found themselves reborn. Almost it lined up perfectly at the end of the Royals' run, started the Chiefs' run. So it has been easy to just dive headfirst into the best dynasty currently going in American sports and disregard this team on the other side. And as the season started to progress and as the season started to play itself out, you started to get more and more of the feeling of, huh, and the Royals might be a little bit better than I thought they were going to be. Hey, this Seth Lugo addition is a lot more important than I had expected it to be. Michael Wacha's pretty good. Hey, Bobby Witt Jr. is developing not just into a good player, but a potentially great player, to a guy that can be one of the best players of his generation. Like, you started to have these epiphanies as the season progressed. So the way that I feel today is not frustration at what happened yesterday. It's not really disappointment that the Royals lost. It's disappointment that baseball season is over. And I didn't think I was going to feel that way at the beginning of the season. Usually, when the calendar turns over to football, this show dives headfirst to football, and the city also did it. But we started with the very beginning of the season is asking the Royals to meet this certain criteria. Hey, can you guys get us to football season? And they did something far greater than that. They hosted 2 playoff games this year. So yes, I am disappointed that the Royals lost. And at some point, we are going to talk about how the Royals lost and what the Royals need to do the next time that they are in that situation. But to me, today has to be more of a celebratory, and the fact that, man, the Royals did it. I know we kind of key it, but the Royals did something that we've never seen them do in our life. We've either seen them be one of the worst teams in baseball and a team that you didn't want to go out to the ballpark, or they have taken you on a magical run. They have not had many seasons that are in the middle. And anytime they do have a season that's in the middle, you're kind of reminded, man, baseball's kind of fun. Baseball was fun in 2003. It was fun in 2013. Sometimes I think that baseball is so caught up with you have to tank to get these best draft picks that they have lost the plot that there is a value of every time that you buy a ticket, you feel like you got a chance to see the home team win. And you're not just buying a ticket to see Aaron Judge or buy a ticket to see Shohei Ohtani or see Juan Soto or Manny Machado or the other great players in baseball. No, I'm going because I want to see the guys on my team. I want to see Bobby Witt Jr. I want to see Vinny Pasquantino. I want to see Michael Massey. I want to go out there because Seth Lugo is pitching or Cole Reagans is pitching. And the Royals restored that feeling in me, and I imagine that they restored that feeling in a lot of you over the course of the season as well. So today's tone of the show is going to be largely positive. Sure, the Royals couldn't score yesterday. That was kind of the theme over the last 6 weeks. We've been talking about it for the last 6 weeks. I don't want to spend too much time trying to figure out why the team that won 56 games last year couldn't beat the Yankees in the postseason. Like, if I told you at the beginning of the season, hey, the Royals are going to finish over 500 and they're going to lose to the Yankees in the postseason, you would have said, I bet it was a magical journey along the way. I mean, it wasn't magical. It was fun. The Royals had two homestands in which they won every single game of the homestand. For those of you that always say, shut up and enjoy the ride, this was one of the bumpiest rides of a fan base and of a team that we have ever seen before. The Royals at a point were the hottest team in baseball and also were the coldest team in baseball, where it felt like they would have lost to the Savannah Bananas. This season took you on a lot of windy turns, but I do think, very similar to 2013, a foundation has been created where next year for opening day, it's going to be sold out. People are going to be interested in us talking about baseball in November. People are going to be interested in us talking about baseball in December. If the Royals make a move in the middle of the Chiefs postseason, we don't have to completely disregard it. We can talk about it for some time. Now, we'll eventually get back to Chiefs and Bills and Chiefs and Dolphins or whoever they could potentially play in the postseason, but what the Royals do matters again. And it felt like over the course of the last 3 to 4 years, it didn't matter. This is the same show that every Friday in the summer would have a bit where we wouldn't even mention the name of the Royals, and if you mentioned them, we'd hang up on you. And those were some of our most popular shows in the summer. This season was eye-opening for me, and I hope that it was eye-opening for you. And I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that you had the same ability to take your kids out to the game. I hope you had the same ability to take your girlfriend, your wife, your family out to the game. And it was a lot of fun, and it is only the beginning, I feel. Vinny is coming back. Bobby Witt is coming back. Salvi is coming back. And I believe you have an ownership group that is dedicated to trying to put a playoff caliber roster on the field. You remember the quote from John Sherman. I'm sure we'll play it over the course of the show. Dayton always talks about being a championship team. I want to see what being a wild card team looks like. Well, John Sherman got to see what a wild card team looks like. He also got to see, and I hope that he saw the same thing that you and I saw, there is still more work to be done. This is not a championship level team. There are still some moves that need to be made. There still needs to be a greater financial commitment from the front office to go get some of the pieces. What I saw was a team that just didn't have enough dogs at the end of the season. And this offseason, you got an opportunity to spend some money to go get those players that next year you are in a position where the Royals scored 24 runs in their final 11 home games of the season. So we're going to bounce around all day. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Cody Decker. We'll get his thoughts on the Royals season and as the Royals lose their series 3-1 to the New York Yankees in the American League Divisional Series. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by one of the best voices in baseball. I always enjoy his commentary. I always enjoy his opinions. You can catch him on Sirius XM Channel 82, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Cody Decker joins us on the show. Cody, man, happy to have you on.
Yo, what's up?
Cody, man, let's just start with this. What was your biggest takeaway from watching the Yankees win 3 out of 4 games against the Royals?
You know, I would say a little lackluster on the Yankees portion. They got the job done. I guess you have to give your tip your cap and say kudos. But at the end of the day, Yankees didn't really look like the world beater that they're supposed to be. Their offense kind of meandered through and got enough done. But at the end of the day, the Yankees are going to need a little bit more than this to get by. If in the next round, at least whoever they run into the World Series definitely will not allow them to win games with 3 runs.
I mean, that's the frustration, I think, as a Royals fan, just at the stadium yesterday. I'm thinking, man, the Yankees didn't play that great. The Royals had numerous opportunities to win this series. They had an opportunity to win game one. I mean, if Kyle Isbell hits that home run, if he hits it 3 feet further, this game is tied at 3 apiece. I mean, that's the difference between winning and losing. But just for a team on paper that I'm with you, is the favorite, should be this big juggernaut, there didn't appear to be a big gap between the Royals and the Yankees in this series.
Not at all. In fact, I think the Royals just showed you the Yankees can be got to. Hell, Gerrit Cole can be got to. Gerrit Cole was rolling last night. Like, make no mistake, you got to tip your cap there. Gerrit Cole was pitching a gem of ball game until all of a sudden you disrupted his little rhythm there with a, you know, I'm not saying it was on the Royals. If anything, it might have been a little bit more on Jazz Chisholm than anybody else. But a 5 to 10 minute disruption that absolutely didn't need to happen in any way, shape, or form. And then immediately Gerrit Cole gives up a run. Make no mistake, Gerrit Cole can be got to. The Yankees can be got to. The Royals showed the Royals were simply just a couple of key hits away from being in the CS.
Right now, we're talking to Cody Decker here, just getting his thoughts on the Royals' loss in the ALDS to the New York Yankees. Cody, sometimes you can point to things and you can say this one thing and the ripple effect that it had. I think that's the Vinny Pasquantino injury. This offense was fine. It wasn't great, but this offense was fine. You felt like you had enough. Vinny had 100 RBIs. Bobby Witt had 100 RBIs. Mm-hmm. Salvi, you had a solid 2-3-4. Vinny's injury completely derailed this offense, and they never really recovered.
It did. And then, of course, him coming back into the playoffs without a whole lot of prep time. And, you know, he did his job well. I remember coming on your show a week ago talking about just his presence alone in that lineup did wonders for the Royals. But, you know, it was not enough, unfortunately. They need to continue to grow as a team offensively. You know, the young guys, if they're going to stick with the players that they currently have, which I see no reason not to, can you develop them even more? Can Pasquantino become that guy that's that 30 home run a year guy, 100 plus RBIs a year guy? We know what Bobby Witt Jr. is, plain and simple. And then you got to address problems that might be coming up in the bowl and in the pitching side, because are they going to make a qualifying offer over to Waka? Is Waka going to leave for a larger contract? Can you secure Waka? Are you going to go and secure another arm? Because at the end of the day, do the Royals need a fourth arm on top of it? Possibly. If they're not going to be the team that's going to be the offensive juggernaut, then it's time to recreate that 2015 magic. You need pitching that is untouchable.
Right now, we're talking to Cody Decker, getting his thoughts on the ALDS. That's interesting you say that about the pitching. I do think there's going to be a lot of interest to see what the Royals do. I think it is clear that the Royals need something. I would be more interested in them trying to get a third base bat or an outfield bat. I think this lineup just needs at least one other hitter that you need to kind of work around and be worried about. But you obviously, you know, starting pitching is the currency of baseball. I'm obviously very interested in seeing them do that as well. What do you think they're going to try to focus on? I felt like last offseason was the pitching. You went out, you got Seth Lugo, you got Michael Wacha. They spent a lot of investment there. They maybe didn't get the bats that they wanted to last offseason.
That's also a separate problem, because what bats are going to be available this offseason? What arms are going to be available this offseason? Do you believe, like I do, Blake Snell's going to hit the market? I tend to balk on the idea that the Royals would be in on Blake Snell, because Blake Snell is looking for a large, long-term contract, and I think there's going to be a lot of teams, because he showed what he could do these last couple of years especially, that they're probably going to take a stab at it. So you have to look probably elsewhere. Who's available is the question. Is Cody Bellinger going to become on the market? Because if he is, Cody Bellinger would be a phenomenal bat to add to that lineup.
Couple more minutes here with Cody Decker, just getting his thoughts on what happened last night with the Royals. Cody, moving forward for the Yankees, how do you think they match up with either the Cleveland Indians or Guardians, or they match up with the Tigers?
You know, I worry about them a little bit against the Cleveland Guardians. I think that's an offense that can do some serious damage. You saw it yesterday. They have timely hitting, and their pitching is second to none. Emmanuel Clase should win the Cy Young. Oops, if it weren't for the guy over in Detroit, Tarek Skubal. I think that the problem with the Detroit Tigers, they are a perfect team right now set up for a 5-game series pitching-wise. You tend to make that a 7-game series, I think they get a little bit more overexposed. I would have thought that at the beginning of the year, after the Guardians lost out on Shane Bieber on the year, but they just have arm after arm after arm after arm. And I don't think if they come get through Skubal tomorrow, I wouldn't be shocked if we see the Guardians in the World Series.
Are you at all worried about Aaron Judge moving forward? It's crazy to say that about the American League MVP, but there is a different version of Aaron Judge in October than the one that plays in April.
I want to say no, but we can't lie about the numbers. We're watching it happen in real time. It's like him and Giancarlo Stanton Freaky Friday each other every single October, and I don't know how it happens. I think he can get himself well if he gets enough at bats, but he's got to take all the pressure off himself. Now, if he hits, the Yankees win. Period. Stop. But you also got the other guys that can share some load. And you saw it yesterday. He didn't need to do it himself. He got on base. He took his walks. If he takes his walks, especially in Yankee Stadium, the Yankees could absolutely win.
Who do you have tonight winning between the Padres and the Dodgers?
Dude, I've gone back and forth. I had the Dodgers from Jump Street, but then I got worried about their pitching. But it's coming down to a one-game playoff. If this was a seven-game series, I would say the San Diego Padres. It's a five-game series. Comes down to tonight. Yamamoto versus Yu Darvish. I'm taking Yamamoto.
That is Cody Decker joining us on the show today, getting you ready for tonight's deciding game five between the Padres and the Dodgers. Also recapping the American League divisional series between the Royals and the Yankees. Baseball season is over, at least here in Kansas City. Cody, great stuff, man. I look forward to catching up with you in the offseason when the Royals make a big move.
Absolutely, man. Look forward to having you over on Beagle and Decker soon, my guy.
Let me know whenever you want me to come on the show. I'm happy to do it.
We'll do it, my man.
Absolutely. That is our guy, Cody Decker, joining us on the show today, appreciative of his time. I don't want to spend too much time talking to the vocal minority of Royals fans today. We will talk some football. The Chiefs have a bye week, so it's a little bit of a unique situation on a Friday. I do want to read this text, though. C-Dot, I think what you were saying is part of the problem. People have been saying, quote, this team lost 56 games last year. This team didn't lose 56 games last year. Last year's team lost 56. This year's team should have beat the Yankees. This team should have won game one and game three. There shouldn't even have been a game last night. Even with their mediocre offense, they should have swept the Yankees. The answer can't be the front office just has to be better, unless we're going to say we can't walk 75 batters a game. This is where I think the Chiefs fans have gotten a little bit fat and happy. Like, you guys kind of make fun of me for this, but it's funny. I was listening to a podcast about it, and I can't remember what the term was, but they were talking about how when you were a kid, Robin, you remember this, you were happy to stay in any hotel because it was cool, right? It was cool to stay at the Red Roof Inn or the Econo Lodge or whatever it is. It was different than your house. But once you start to make a little bit of money, I don't want to go back to the Red Roof Inn. Like, your expectations change a little bit based on, you know, what your experiences are. I think what has happened to Chiefs fans, at least in regards to their other teams, you have it so good that you kind of forget the come up and you forget how it used to be for you. Now, maybe some Chiefs fans kind of have that perspective, but I think we're on here enough that when the Chiefs don't play to A+, sometimes it feels like the sky is falling. But at least with the Royals, it is hard for me to feel anything other than grateful with understanding where they were and also understanding that they haven't been in this position. And I say that at least in regards to Chiefs fans, and why I make the analogy is you haven't really had it that difficult as a Chiefs fan. You haven't had to go through many steps as a Chiefs fan. Think about it. They draft Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't start his first year. His second year, he wins MVP. The third year, they won the Super Bowl. That's not the story Lamar Jackson has. That's not the story Josh Allen has. That's not Joe Burrow's story or any other great quarterback in the league. That's really not any other great player's story in American sports. That's not Aaron Judge. That's not Mike Trout. Think about how many great athletes that we talk about and discuss. Their story does not go as easily as Patrick Mahomes. Michael Jordan's story didn't go the way that Patrick Mahomes is. It usually takes some step. You kind of got to bump your head a little bit. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with the Royals next year. The season hasn't ended 24 hours. Let's see what moves they make. Let's see who they go pick up in free agency. Let's see if they make a big trade. Like, we still have time to have those conversations. But this is where I think that some Chiefs fans, you've been eating filet mignon just way too long that you forgot what Hamburger Helper used to taste like. You've been eating at Capital Grill so long, you forget. Man, it wasn't that long ago you were eating at Outback. And for the Royals, for you to go from, they had, I would say, 7 years of being largely irrelevant largely irrelevant, right? Like, largely irrelevant. To go from that to playing two playoff games against the Yankees, for you feeling like, man, we almost had it, that's kind of the steps that most franchises take. That's what Houston did last year in the NFL, right? Houston was bad. They had the second overall pick. They got C.J. Stroud. They got D'Amico Ryans. They made they won their division. They won their first playoff game. They went on the road, and they lost to the Ravens, who then lost to the Chiefs. So I understand frustration about losing individual games. And I told you, Rob, I wasn't going to have this conversation while we were in the middle of the season. I don't really want to have this, oh, man, it was fun. No, that's for after the season's over. But now that the season is over, now that we are heading into the offseason and let's see what they do, I just don't know how, as a Royals fan, you can feel any other emotion other than just simple appreciation. This team was supposed to beat the Yankees? That's what they were supposed to beat? This team who lost their three-hitter in early September, they were supposed to beat the Yankees in a postseason series? I don't think that was... If they had done that, they'd have been the favorite to go to the World Series. This is where I just think the Royals are in a very unique situation where they've never been the 90s Chiefs. Some of your favorite memories as Chiefs fans, I guess pre-Patrick Mahomes, because he obviously created so many great memories, were just... the 90s Chiefs, man, it was really fun to go to the game. My dad took me to the game, and the hope and the excitement is sure. It comes with the heartbreak. That's kind of part of being a sports fan. I don't think you should feel heartbroken about what happened yesterday. I think you should feel proud and accomplished for what the Royals were able to do. And hearing the way that Bobby talked after the game, I will be very excited to see what Bobby Witt Jr., after a motivated, after you got a taste of playoff success, but you didn't play nearly up to the way that you wanted to play, I'd be very curious to see how his offseason does and how he starts next year. The Royals matter again, and that's really all we asked them to do heading into this year. We thought them mattering meant them winning 75 games heading into the year. They won 85 games and beat a team in the wild card round. Whatever your expectations were when we started this journey, they far exceeded it almost every single turn.
I think in a way the Chiefs have broken Royals fans, and it made it very, very unfair in a way for the Royals. And I think we're saying the same thing, but we talk about a lot in sports how the come up is the fun part. Think about any team that you see rise to championship level. It is fun to watch the journey. We talk a lot in the show in February and March about how college basketball is losing fans because no one knows who the players are anymore, and you can't identify with them, and you can't see the come up when they go from freshman to good junior. But you saw it in Kansas City. It was terrible. Andy Reid shows up. It was good, but they hit a ceiling. Patrick Mahomes shows up. They go to the AFC title game. Oh, so close yet so far. Then, boom, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, and it Chiefs fans, who are also Royals fans, have failed to appreciate the path. The Royals are on the path. This is step one. Look at the growth of any organization to become a title contender. Step one is they go from dweller to, oh, wow, surprise, look, this team's in the playoffs. That was the 2013 Chiefs. They went from the first overall pick to a playoff team that lost in Indianapolis. I don't remember doing radio in 2013 having people be like, well, who cares? They didn't win it at all. They're coming up short again. That's loser talk. Expectation, there are championship or bust. That's not how it works. You're a Mizzou fan. You saw Eli Drinkwitz slowly building a program. And last year, he won the Cotton Bowl. And this year, boom, expectations. He didn't fail to make the SEC title game and everyone just boo and hiss when he went 6-6. No. These are the steps you take on the path to becoming a champion. The Royals just completed the first checkpoint. They went from, for a football analogy, 2-14 to 10-7. And they won a wild card game. They're last year's Texans. But Chiefs fans are just stacking Lombardis over at One Arrowhead Drive. They don't care about the path or the steps. They care about the result. And I think that's unfair to hold the Royals to that level because that's just not what the Royals are.
Yeah, I think the hope now with the Royals is, to continue the NFL comparison, I hope that you, like, the hope should be they're the Lions. You remember, the Lions had that Sunday night football game against Aaron Rodgers. And you remember Jamal Williams had that incredible interview at the end of it and basically said, you should start paying attention to the Detroit Lions. The next year they went to the NFC Championship game, and man, they should have won that game. The Lions should have been in the Super Bowl last year. They really should have. Those are the steps that you're talking about. That now let's see what the Royals do. If you are the owner, and I don't know he was sitting there the entire time, but John Sherman came down and was sitting in the stands. He was sitting in the stands right behind home plate, sitting right in the Crown Vision seats, right there, right there. You got to be realistic with yourself about what you're supposed to be and where you are supposed to go. And I think it is obvious what the Royals need. The Royals need a third base bat. They need a third base bat, and they need an outfield bat. We don't have to dive too deep into this part of the conversation. You cannot continue to start Mikel Garcia and MJ Melendez next season. Both of them cannot start. I'm not saying they can't be on the team. I'm saying is your offense cannot be reliant on both of them heading into next year. You keep your 1-4 that you got. You're happy with your 1-4. Massey, Witt, Vinny, Salvi. Tell Vinny, hey, we don't need you swinging a bat until January. Completely rest up and let's come back and let's get ready for spring training. But this team has been waiting for MJ Melendez to turn into that guy. Vinny turned into that guy. Bobby Witt turned into that guy. MJ ain't that guy. And I like Mikel Garcia. You can have one of them be in your lineup. You cannot have both. The biggest problem with the Royals over the course of the last couple of weeks is they just have too many outs in their lineup. And when you have those outs in your lineup and then your key run producers also turn into those outs, you get what you have offensively. The Royals scored 24 runs in their last 11 home games. You're just not beating good teams that way. I'm sorry. You're not doing it. You can do it once or twice against the Orioles. That's not a formula that you are going to replicate en route to the World Series. Beating everybody 2-1, 1-0. You need incredible pitching performances every single day. And you're not doing that constantly up against the best teams in baseball. You're not playing the White Sox every day anymore. You're not playing disappointing teams where we were looking at stretches in the schedule and you could get healthy against Oakland or get healthy against the Miami. No, you're going up against Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and Stanton every day. You're not holding those teams to 1 and 2 runs consistently. So if we want to look into the offseason, my number one and number two checklist is they need a corner outfielder or a third baseman, one of the two. I don't think they're going to go out there and get both, but they need one impact bat in their lineup. And if you give yourself 4 or 5 guys that you think can hit and that you can ride out a slump where if Witt's not having his best, you can ride it out with whoever you pick up, or if Vinny's struggling a little bit, you can pick it up with somebody else. That would be the ideal offseason for the Kansas City Royals.
I agree. I don't think you can have Garcia and Melendez, if everyone's healthy, be your everyday left fielder and everyday third baseman anymore. I agree. But I think, and we will have an offseason talk about actual Royals baseball ideas, thoughts. Like, it is not going to be, oh, ho-hum. I think we played the joke breaking news sounder when they signed Lugo. Like, oh, look, they made a move. Like, that is not going to be how we treat the Royals offseason this year. So we can talk about the nitty gritty. But I think one reason for excitement about the offseason, and that's a weird sounding sentence, is last year John Sherman and J.J. Piccolo showed, hey, we're willing to do what's necessary to make the ball club better. At this time last year, if I said, hey, Carrington, let's do a topic about Royals need in the offseason, you would have a list of every position. They largely went out and addressed the holes and made a 56-win team a playoff team.
I mean, they also did that over the course of the season. Like, whenever you were frustrated about the bullpen, they did something about the bullpen. I mean, that's why I say at every turn, the Royals did exactly what fans want them to do. You wanted John Sherman to buy in the offseason. He bought in the offseason. You wanted the Royals to be players of the trade deadline. They were players of the trade deadline. When an injury happened to Vinny Pasquantino, you wanted them to do something about it. They did it. Other than win the World Series, the Royals did every possible thing that you can ask for as a fan base. Everything. There's not one thing you can think back and say, oh, man, I wish the Royals had. No, they did that over the course of the year. You wanted them to be aggressive in free agency. You wanted them to make moves at the deadline. You wanted them to be competitive. The Royals checked off a lot of boxes this season. That's why I say I do not have a measure of disappointment about this season. It is, I'm proud of the way that they played, And I'm excited. I'm excited to see what next baseball season looks like for the Kansas City Royals. Coming up on the other side, we gave you guys a winning parlay on Monday. We gave you a winning parlay. We're going to give you another college parlay. It's one of the biggest college football weekends that I can remember. We'll also give you an NFL one. We actually hit our NFL one last week. DeAndre Swift over and Kareem Hunt anytime touchdown. So we're making you money here on The Drive. You just got to try to catch some of it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive. Coming up in about 15, the Hall of Fame voice. We're going to talk primarily Royals today, but this is a big weekend in college football. This is a big NFL weekend, so we're going to talk about that as well. I will say, Rob, that I'm a little bit torn. Ohio State is a small favorite on the road at Oregon. Ohio State traditionally hasn't been good against top five teams. It's a road game in conference play. You know that crowd's going to be rocking, and you're going to give me Oregon as a home dog. Just feels like the play is Oregon, but I don't know, man. I really like this Ohio State team. I don't think they've had many opportunities to show us that they're one of the best teams in the country just based on how their schedule is. It is about to start. Where are you at for Ohio State, Oregon?
I think Oregon's the best. I'm torn as well, because I think Oregon, home field advantage, team, a stadium of that magnitude, all the things favor them. But man, Ohio State has been better than Oregon this year. They just have. Like, Oregon, I know Boise State might make the playoff, but Oregon struggled with them for a while. Oregon, and maybe they're playing with their food, but Oregon has not looked like the, you know, no doubt, dominant, here they come, watch out team that we were promised. Ohio State has looked like that. They have dispatched every opponent they have faced with ease. Even teams like, oh, that's not a bad team, smoked them. Like, 35-7 over Iowa is like their, oh, I can't believe they kept it close type of game. So I think Ohio State's the play, but college teams on the road, man, like, it just gets weird. And Will Howard, we love him on this show, but
sure.
Autzen's a different animal. That's different than going to Lubbock. It just is.
Yeah, that's a game that personally I'm staying away from, because I think you can make a really convincing side. If you had to force my hand and tell me I'm going to take a home dog in almost every single scenario in a major college football game, we saw that earlier this year when Alabama was a slight home dog in their matchup against Georgia. I think the right play is Oregon, but I don't know, man. I really like Ohio State. All right, let's give you a college parlay to get things going this weekend. Let's also give you an NFL parlay to get things going this weekend. Hit me, Rob. Now, you guys have to give me this. I told you Kareem Hunt was going to be the first touchdown on Monday Night Football, and hopefully you took it. It was plus 600. I mean, they were just giving you money. The book doesn't give you money. I have another vision. It's Dylan Edwards scoring a touchdown this weekend on the road at Colorado. You know that Chris Kleiman's going to try to give him one in the end zone. He's going to give him an opportunity. So I am going to take Dylan Edwards plus 125. You know, I love plus money touchdown bets. I'm not laying the juice on a guy scoring a touchdown. Give me Dylan Edwards plus 125. Maybe I'm playing it on a hunch. Maybe I'm playing it with my heart. But the way that Dylan Edwards left Colorado, he's now going back to Colorado. I don't care if it's a special teams touchdown. They throw it to him out of the backfield. They try to give him a carry in the red zone to help him try to get in the end zone. I think the game could potentially be high scoring, so there's going to be money on the table. I'm going to take Dylan Edwards to score a touchdown this weekend at plus 125.
Okay, so my college leg makes me sick to my stomach. It makes my skin crawl that I'm doing this. But I'm doing this to make people money. I'm putting my fandom aside, and I am making the people some money. Missouri minus 27.5. Just Missouri's coming off a loss. They looked horrible. They're licking their wounds, and they're going to the worst stadium in Division I against maybe the worst team in Division I. They are 1-5. Their only win over an SCS opponent, where it was a game late against Merrimack. UMass is awful. Like, all sorts of awful. I don't understand why an SEC team is playing a true road game in Massachusetts, and maybe at 11 a.m. some funky stuff happens. Not after what happened last week. Eli Drinkwitz will get that offense going. That defense will get going. UMass doesn't have the Jimmies, the Joes, the X's, the No's, the fan. They don't have any combination of the things you need for an upset in college football. This smells like a 52-3 sort of boat race by the Tigers. Tigers minus 27.5. I don't like doing it, but it's free money.
All right, what's our odds here? If you combine my bet and your bet, what are you getting there?
If you play a Dylan Edwards anytime touchdown and Missouri minus the spread, plus 329.
Not bad. You know what? I'll take 3-1 odds on that. All right, let me give you my NFL bet. People are slow to realize it. Is Tank Bigsby the best running back on the Jacksonville Jaguars? He has had an incredible last couple of weeks. Maybe you like Etienne, but you know what? Tank Bigsby is an important part of that offense. I'm not sure if the books have caught up. They have his rushing yards right now at 38.5. He has hit that in three of their first five games. The last 2 weeks, he blew past this. He had 7 carries for 90 yards against Houston. He had 13 carries for 110 yards. Even if you took away his long run in both of those games, he still clears the over here. I think Tank Bigsby here, as long as the over-under is going to be so low, I think you got to take him. Give me Tank Bigsby over 38.5. I think he clears it easily.
That has been a very, very, very popular play. Tank Bigsby's over is the play.
I took it last week. It paid for me.
I'm going to take the under on Lamar Jackson passing yards. Listen, I know the Commanders' defense is horrible. Like, I'm aware of that.
It's not good, then.
221 is the number, by the way. I'm going to take the under on that. But because the Commanders' defense is horrible, I don't think the Ravens are going to have to pass the football to win the game. Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, Lamar Jackson on the ground are good enough. And we all love Jaden Daniels. He's exciting to watch. We all love the Commander story. 4-1. They're so fun. This feels like that up-and-coming team that faces the prohibitive Super Bowl team or a Super Bowl caliber team and gets whapped down. This feels like the game where Scott Hansen at the end of the day is like, man, the Ravens won 34-13, and it just feels like the Commanders aren't quite there yet. So because they don't need Jackson to beat the Commanders, I'll take the under on his passing yards at 221. And passing is just down in the league. No one can do it well. So I'll take the under.
Interesting. All right, what's the odds on that?
If you take Bigsby over and Jackson under, plus 255, Carrington.
All right, plus 255 is going to go and throw that out there for you. Which one of the big dogs do you like this weekend? There's a handful of big dogs in the National Football League. Cleveland, they are a 9.5-point dog. New England, they're 6.5-point underdogs. Arizona, they are 5.5-point. Carolina, they're 6.5 points. There's a handful of big dogs in the league. Tennessee is 8.5-point dogs. You know that underdogs, they've been real live so far this NFL season. Which of those underdogs do you think is a smart play?
Cardinals. Like, didn't the Cardinals just do this last week? Like, they were what? A 6.5, 7.5-point dog.
They won outright, too.
Won outright in San Francisco. And I know San Francisco's battling injury, but you saw last night, San Francisco is still a very good team. I'm not saying Kyler and co. are a playoff team, but what about the Packers? Screams, oh, man, you gotta take the Packers in the points. Yeah, I'm taking the Cardinals of all those teams to pull the upset.
You know what? I'm going to take Carolina plus 6.5. I'm going to take them in a home environment. This is a home divisional game, a touchdown here. Atlanta coming off a big emotional win. They probably win this game, but they win by a touchdown. This feels like a game that's uneasy in the fourth quarter, and the Falcons make one or two more plays. That's kind of been their MO. The Falcons aren't really running away from anybody. These games games have been tight and closely contested. I'm going to take Carolina at home. Might get a little crazy. Might take them on the money line, plus 220. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. Baseball season is over. We are paying our respects to a fantastic season for the Royals. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.